You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, patriots and jackbooted thugs alike. It is one of the most growing hours on Blog Talk Radio. It is the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. Get right to it, as always, if you want to call in and talk to us or our guest tonight. The call-in numbers, as always, across the country, 858-683-1326, 858-683-1326. And we are coming to you from a stormy Louisville, Kentucky tonight, so hopefully we won't have to run to the underground bunker here shortly. We're going to bring on our good friend here, Michael Lewis, in a moment of Independent Kentucky. We'll just start out by telling you, yes, it is Thursday, February the 20th, as we do quickly this week in history. On this date, in 1905, the U.S. Supreme Court, the guys in the Black Moo-Moos, declared vaccinations legal. You notice they didn't declare them lawful, but in 1905, on this date, they declared vaccinations legal. Moving forward, in 1871, I guess we're moving backward, aren't we? This week in 1871, the Act of 1871 turned the United States into a corporation, so no longer a freestanding republic, but a corporation. So now we will go right to our guest tonight. We've been wanting to have him on here, and this is our good friend. He's got some history doing this radio hosting thing in the past, and he's going to come on here and talk to us about what's going on in Independent Kentucky, if we can get him on the air here. And are you with us, Michael?
Yes, sir, I am. Thank you very much for having me on, Dale.
Brother, it's been a while since we had you on the airwaves. Like I was saying, you used to do one of these shows many moons ago, and I wanted to get you back on here to have you tell everybody about what's going on with Independent Kentucky. So I wanted to start out with that, because we know that in the state of Kentucky, there's very few independent representation in our state legislature, and you have an organization that represents 200,000 some voters in the Commonwealth. And as the website says over independentkentucky.org, that you are here to provide the same strides to educate independent voters and making sure that your movement is heard. So what's been going on lately, Michael?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's actually been very interesting in what we're trying to accomplish as far as a statewide effort. We got a couple pockets that have seen a lot of progress. So we're going to actually switch and start focusing on those for a very good reason. As everybody knows, the midterms are up. You know, if you had stock in independence during the midterms, you could be a very wealthy person. Because at this time, you know, a lot of people start looking towards independence. How are they feeling? Where are they going to go? You know, and a lot of these primaries, especially in Kentucky, are closed, and they don't get the opportunity to vote in those. We still make a major impact going forward, just because a lot of the counties in Kentucky, you know, we see a lot of representation that doesn't have to really be elected to that seat. Just nobody runs against them because they've been running for so long. So it gets very interesting in Kentucky, you know, building up this midterm election with the primaries coming and then the general after that. So Independent Kentucky is starting to get more phone calls and emails than normal these days.
Well, and we know back at the end of January, Michael, it was the filing deadline for those who are running in one of the two wings of the Uniparty, as we call them, the Republicans / Democrats, or the Uniparty, as we've coined that term on the airwaves. And you had to file by the end of January for those, and I believe, as I don't have my Secretary of State office's information in front of me, I believe you have all the way up until, is it April or May, to make a declaration as an independent, or you still have the old August deadline?
As far as I know, and I don't think it's been amended at this point, I think it's still the old August deadline. Okay. You know, the only reason why I'm not up on that is just because we don't really work for independent candidates. We're independent with a little I.
Right.
We like to organize. We definitely stress vote for the person, not the party, you know,
right,
even if that's the independent party, because Kentucky does not have that. We're not trying to compete for a party system. What we're trying to, I guess, compete for is our seat at the table that we pay for with our tax dollars. You know, and I know this might be a side conversation and swing into something else,
yep,
but just released, New Jersey has released their numbers for primary costs over the last 10 years, and, of course, it's millions of dollars. you know, that could fund a project is what they're talking about. And I'll have to find that article for you. Unfortunately, my internet is down because of the current storm, and I can't access the exact information.
Okay.
I apologize. You know, I come to the show more as a come to the show more as a friend than a politician. You know, I don't have I don't have an agenda here except to talk with a network that I love to work with. But anyways, about the cost of the primaries, you know, like we were bringing up, and that's the same here in Kentucky. And the number's a lot smaller in Kentucky because I believe generally Kentucky's primaries run around $2 million to cost. I mean, I shouldn't say that because $2 million is a lot of money. If I had $2 million, I wouldn't have as many jobs as I have, you know, to feed my family. It's like a lot of people out there. So I don't make me sound like I'm making light of $2 million. But over a period of time, you know, that's a road project. I know it's definitely not a bridge project in Louisville, but, I mean, you know, in some of rural parts of Kentucky that really need that attention, you know, that's a lot of money. And to me, it feels like these primaries are they are a private party. They're a private establishment. At least that's what they tell us.
Yep.
You know, and we pay for their party, but it's like paying a country club membership and you don't get to come play on the greens. You know, that's really one of the only ways that I can paint the easiest picture for just the general person that doesn't vote to think about, because, you know, there's a lot of money being wasted these days. There's a lot of people not getting to voice their opinions. You know, I know people on the My View Matters Network all share different opinions, but something that we as Independent Kentucky have been watching is the former felons bill, you know, about those individuals paying their debt to society. You know, they make the same argument that their taxes are paying, you know, for these primaries, and they see advancement year after year, you know, during the legislative session. We've had those advancements.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, catch your breath there for a minute, Mike. On the primary thing, you're exactly right. You stole my words there because the primary process, they want to tell you it's their private little party, except we fund it. It's subsidized by us, whether we're Republicans, Democrats, Independents, or Libertarians. And I know as I'm looking at your website over there, independentkentucky.org, that was something that you always talked about, was both open primaries and ballot access. And what's unusual, and people in Kentucky may not know, if you go across the river to Indiana on primary day, you walk up there to the election booth, and you're pretty much in a long line to get in the door because, unlike Kentucky, it's not as apathetic when you let more people involved in the process. And they choose on the day of election which party's primaries they're going to vote in. Is that something that you think that would be ideal for Kentucky, or where would you come down in terms of something like that?
Are you talking about just letting them vote in the presidential race in that format?
Yeah, the primary. I mean, the primary elections, because they line up and they get to choose. The guys I know from Indiana, they say that it's up to that day before they have to tell them what party they're in, whereas in Kentucky, they make you choose, like, by the end of the calendar year before you even know who's going to be running in the primary. So I just wondered if that open primary / ballot access would be more beneficial in Kentucky, in your opinion, as the chair of Independent Kentucky, if they let people decide a little bit closer to election time instead of making them choose sides before they even know who's on the ballot.
Yeah, we as an organization, we definitely agree on that. That is something that's needed here. You know, if they don't want to make it, you know, we had pushed a semi-open primary, which would allow an independent voter to become an R or a D for a day. You know, even if we had a different system that allowed you to change day of, because it really makes you vest in the process. And anybody can just be registered. I know people that have been registered for years that haven't voted and probably have moved and are no longer eligible. You know, at that point, it gives you that investment, that equity into what's going on in the world and current events. You know, I understand everybody has the right not to care, but it is kind of our, you know, responsibility as a good citizen to be aware of what's going on around us. You know, no matter where you live, your community is, you know, part of who you are. You know, and those opportunities of same-day registration is a complete game changer. And, you know, I say that hesitantly because I know what I'm talking about would probably scare somebody to death in rural Kentucky that's been told they need to vote one way or another.
Yeah.
Because we all know that Kentucky has the counties where only Republicans run or only Democrats run. And you know, it's funny, a lot of my friends on a national level that go over numbers with me about Kentucky,
yeah,
people that have worked in other states for rights, they laugh because Kentucky is so Democrat at leaning, and yet the Republicans are the ones that have, you know, showed a little interest in helping the independence of the state. And it's completely opposite around the country everywhere else, except,
yeah,
you know, in a few key states.
Yeah, and like you say, Mike, there'll be a few Republicans who will come to your defense. I mean, I know we had a few people out there like Jimmy Higdon and others who would actually go to bat for you, because if you look at that legislature that I was for mentioning, you have a state legislature now that after this coming election, you're not even going to have the one independent. Right now, there's still one independent in the state legislature, but he's retiring, and I think maybe that's something that you can tell me how helpful he's been, because I know that it's very, very hard to find bedfellows up there if you're not in one of the two divisions of the Uniparty. But speaking of Bob Leeper, of course, he's been in each party in the past, and Leeper's actually resigning, so or retiring, if you will, so you're not even going to have that independent in the legislature anymore. Was Bob Leeper helpful in helping you get the word out about this?
Well, I tell you what, it's funny that you bring that up, because we have some other initiatives that are quite ambitious. You know how we are at Independent Kentucky. We like to try to hit home runs every time. Unfortunately, sometimes you strike out and you don't get where you want to go. You know, in the past, we've worked with these legislators, and what they've told us is, hey, we want to see some progress. We want to see the people talking about it. And we had worked at the fair. It was about 3 years ago now. I believe you even came out and was a part of that. Just amazing week. We had in like 10 days' time, I believe we came up with 2,400 signatures in support of what Independent Kentucky is doing to change Kentucky's primary system.
How many people legislators that were? I remember there were so many people. I couldn't remember. It was 2 or 3 years ago. Like, I did go out there and help you all get signature for that. How many people did you run into that had no idea how closed, pun intended, I mean literally and figuratively, how closed this process is? How many people out there didn't know how hard it was just to do the things you wanted to do on the ballot?
Okay, people aren't probably going to believe this number, but I would say it was a high 60%. And I want you to think about, there were 600,000 people at the fair that year where we were at, and we were able to get these signatures in 10 days. So it did corral a lot of Kentucky. It brought Kentuckians from every corner to this one location, and we were able to talk to them. And a lot of them, you know, are too busy worrying about how to feed their family. And they really didn't understand the voting process. And we broke it down, and we was able to talk to them about other things as well. And it was a really amazing day, an amazing week. And it opened my eyes to a few different things. And it was how out of touch legislators were, of course. And I might be getting on a side conversation.
Right.
I'm going to try to circle it back around here.
That's all right.
But, they want to hear from the people. We went out there and we were able to get some of the message from these people. They put their name, contact information down on a piece of paper that said, this is going in front of your legislator. And it really scared off some legislators, to where they didn't want to see it. That way, I guess, plausible deniability. They didn't have to say they've seen all these independents and Republicans and Democrats and Libertarians and Constitutionalists and people from all different walks of life signing this document saying that they supported it. You know, brings me back to an initiative we're going to try to do. Over the next 12, we have a 6, 12, and 18-month plan to shoot for 25,000 signatures statewide. Mm-hmm. And that's something, because they're not listening, you know, if they're not going to listen to what we try to do in 10 days on a very small budget, because we don't have a budget like these parties, we just do it on the generosity of people that believe in the cause, that go out and spend their time, like yourself and a lot of other people that have been on the show. you know, we're going for the gusto. We're going to try to go for that home run. We're going to get 25,000 signatures from people around the state. We're going to present that to them. If that doesn't work, we're going to go for 50. It kind of just goes with the rest of the process of what we're trying to build. And I think we actually have a shot just with the midterm coming up now and then the presidential election after that. You're going to see the next, you know, 3 to 4 years be very important for independence and what we're doing in the state.
Well, you're up against, you know, you're swimming upstream up against the grain, whatever cliche you want to use, because these election boards, as you know, they're controlled by the Democrat and Republican parties. And we've talked about this here in Jefferson County, how diluted and corrupted the system is, that you need to allow more than just two parties involved in the election board process. But we know here in Jefferson County, to use that example, since that's where we do the show, that's all the people run the election boards. So it's the people from the Democrat Party and people from the Republican Party. And to be honest, the ones on the Republican side don't want those of us liberty and oriented folks involved in the party. So I know that you all are wanting to, at one point, I remember on your website, you were wanting the Commonwealth of Kentucky to place at least one independent, one libertarian, one green party member on each of the state and local boards. Is that still part of your initiative?
That is still something that we're working on. And, you know, we've had a lot of success reaching out to some of the more younger individuals in our network. We're going to start pushing real big on campus, on Kentucky's campuses, to talk with these young voters, these fresh out of high school, welcome to the real world voters, because I think they're starting to open up, and we're going to push for that. We're also looking into right now, and this is the first time we're going to talk about it publicly, of course, we're also looking into ballot initiatives. You know, you have states like California where the citizens of that state can get together petitions, and then, you know, the people can vote on it during the ballot. At this point in time, you know, ballot initiatives have to go through our government. They have to go through the legislative session. It has to be voted on. Then the governor has to sign it. Then it has to go to the people. You know, we're toying with the idea of working out some kind of language for a bill that presents some sort of ballot access directly from the people. We have a lot of diverse issues in Kentucky. The biggest one right now is gambling. And we could sit on the show for hours and people would call in, tell us one way or another why it's good or bad.
Right.
Let the people vote on it. It's been stuck in Frankfurt for how many years now? Dale, you've been into politics longer than I have. They've probably been talking about it for 20 years, you know?
Well, the problem with the gambling thing is it's all about whose ox is being gored and whose hands were being padded with the big dollars, because they only wanted to put an initiative on there that went to the racetracks. And I'm glad you brought up ballot initiatives. I'm pulling up some notes over here on Ballotpedia right now, because the fact is go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, before you bring that up, and just so the listeners know, you could also segue into why Independent Kentucky wants true the transparency within government. It's something that doesn't get a lot of attention. We don't have, you know, we're volunteer-based. So if anybody out there is listening and they have those transparency concerns, we do accept volunteers, you know, at our website. So, yeah. You know, those are just more issues, Dale. You're ripping it wide open, and we're really finally seeing what's really going on the inside. I appreciate the show, The Truth, man. It's really fun being on here. But go ahead. You were on Ballotpedia.
Yeah. No, I was going to talk about Ballotpedia for a moment, because if people go to Ballotpedia.org, they can see what different states allow their citizens, and I use that term loosely, to vote on. And in Kentucky, again, I try to explain this to people, you can't vote on initiatives like you can in California. You can't just go in there and vote on something that's more open democracy. It has to go through your legislators. And even if they were to change, that has to go through your legislators changing it in order to give you the right to vote for it in the future. So it's very much a catch-22, and that's why you need to get some people on your side who will be willing to say, hey, we don't have a problem with independents or libertarians or Constitution Party or Green Party people being involved, but you got to get a Democrat or Republican to reach out to you first. And that's what seems to be the problem sometimes, is getting them to reach out to you. I'm glad you do have these initiatives you're working on, because, like I said, it's not just cut and dry that you can decide in Kentucky whether gambling or industrial hemp or marijuana medical, whatever the topic is, you have to go through the legislator first, and you got to get some of them open-minded enough to be willing to work with independents. And that's where you guys come in. I believe, Michael, if I remember correctly, you started Independent Kentucky back in 2008?
It was an idea in 2007, and it definitely officially launched in 2008. It was an amazing launch. You know, it was, we were, as my good friend from CNN put it, David Manley, we were very organic in the very beginning. It was a good rise there.
Well, the thing I was going to ask you about is we know what happened when you went down to the legislature and tried to get some support and get some light shed on the topics that you're covering, because as people don't know, in Kentucky, we still have dinosaurs that roam the earth, and some of them are former governors and legislators like Julian Carroll. And we remember how Julian Carroll treated you. He doesn't get that you're independently minded, that you think for yourself. Didn't he basically say that if you want another party, he'd create one for you?
He definitely said that, and we're, of course, you know, I turned him down later in the halls when we seen each other later. But you know, it's that kind of mindset that kind of definitely alienates people from talking to independents, because they don't. I don't know if they know if he didn't understand how to come and talk to us. I'm like, hey, I'm a man just like you. You know, we have differences, that's fine. But obviously, he was yelling and kind of storming off like one of my kids. So,
oh yeah, that's
how
they behave.
You know, my dad told me, he looked at me and he said, you know, as we were watching it, because he watched it, you know, on TV with everybody else when it first came on, I was, you know, spending some time with my family, and he looked at me, he said, well, that's what happens when you try to take somebody's, you know, throne away from them. My dad really thinks, you know, my dad's very supportive. He thinks, you know, in his mind, you know, open primaries is a revolutionary idea of getting everybody involved. You know, my dad's getting close to 60. So, you know, he's from that generation there that tried to do this as well. And, you know, my dad has pictures with Julian Carroll from grade school in Paducah when he was a child. So it's, a really funny
government
ties in.
Yeah, these guys don't leave government. That's why I say we have dinosaurs roaming the earth in the state, Michael, because these guys get in there. Looking, for example, Daryl Owens. He's now a state representative. He was a city commissioner forever, county commissioner, before the wonderful merger that they just bestowed upon us. And Daryl Owens was a commissioner when I was in grade school, and he's still in government. That's why I said these dinosaurs, they roam the earth, and you'd think they'd get stuck in a tar pit or somewhere, and they would all just die out. But they're still roaming around. And the scary thing is that people keep electing them, Michael. And I think another thing that we see on the ballots that allow them to do that is this ridiculously insane, antiquated straight party voting. What is your opinion about the straight party voting that only a few states like Kentucky allow anymore?
That's something else that we've been working on. I know you've mentioned the website a few times. We're actually working to get a new look. We're going to go ahead and rebrand the website and try to get it out there. We're going to have some more interactive links and things to do with the website. But it's the straight party voting is what I call very dull voting. It's something that we obviously preach to do something completely different. The person, not the party, is who we want you to vote for. And that to me is training people what to do, you know, during an election. We don't want you to support our candidates. We want you to support our party and just trust us that we'll pick the right candidates for you. And I have seen numbers and specifically in the Jefferson County and surrounding areas, I have seen the numbers of straight party ticket voting, you know, be over 60% in some districts. I've seen it. I've seen anomalies that were as high as 70% and 80%, which really blows my mind. Which really, to me, questions. You know, do these people really know the candidates, or do they just know what party they belong to and they trust them? And you know, me as the thinker that I try to be, you know, I want to make sure that I'm putting my trust in somebody, not something, which a party is something. You know, do you understand where I'm coming from?
I
agree
with you, Michael. I keep telling them, and I'll keep pounding this point home on these shows, I stay in the Republican Party for two reasons. Number one, because they haven't decided to let everybody vote in the primaries, even though all of y'all's money is spent on, even though an independent like Michael Lewis's money is spent in, and a libertarian like Ken Mohman's money is spent on the primaries, even though they won't let you all involved in it, they take your money and they build out their little private party, their little private frat party. And I stay in the Republican Party because, number one, they haven't changed those stupid rules to at least get to some kind of semi-open primary. And number two, because they haven't found a way to kick my ass out of the party legally. They can't do that. So, we, you know, I stay in there for that reason. And, again, we're very level-headed and fair and balanced, if we want to use that overused term here on this network, because we have, as we said, Ken Mohman. Ken Mohman does our show on Sunday nights, and he's the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Kentucky. We got Ed Springsteen was once a Democrat, and he's a Republican. Ed Martin was a Libertarian, now he's a Republican. So like I said, we're very fair-minded here about these issues. We're going to come to our bottom of the hour break. Can you hang with us after the break, Michael?
Yeah, I can stay with you for a little while.
Michael's going to hang with us, folks. You are listening to our special guest tonight, Michael Lewis of Independent Kentucky, and this is, again, the TNT radio show, Thursday Night Truth, on the My View Matters radio network. If you're listening already in the queue on your phone and you want to call in and maybe ask my stuff or the guest a question, just press the 1 on your key and we'll get you on the air after the bottom of the hour break, and we'll be right back.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Had to take care of our bottom of the hour break there, pay the bills, as they say. And we came back in with our good friend Axl Rose's version of Knocking on Heaven's Door, and knocking on a lot of doors in Frankfurt for the independent voice. Our good friend Michael Lewis of Independent Kentucky is with us. And Michael, I know before the break we were going to get into some of the national issues, and I'm looking here now at endpartisanship.org, and I know there's a coalition out there between the Independent Voter Project and independentvoting.org. Do you want to tell the audience about what you know about and what your involvement is with endpartisanship.org?
Yeah, definitely. You know, kind of when I first got my rise into politics, I had worked very closely with independentvoting.org on just learning about independents across the nation. They had done the most, you know, research. They had reached the most people, you know, across the nation as a whole. You know, I started working with them, and then IVN came around, and IVN was more of a news style of network where they're also trying to just keep everybody in touch. Is where independent voting is an organizing, arm of the independent movement. Independent Voter Network is the information arm of that, you know, national network. And, they've came up with a lot of things that we've been saying at Independent Kentucky, a lot of things that everybody across the nation has been saying in these closed primary states. You know, how crazy it is. You know, if you look at the numbers, like I was saying, and I have the exact numbers now, in 2012, taxpayers paid $100 million for party conventions and over $400 million to fund private primary elections. You know, that's an amazing numbers. You know, that's over $500 million.
Yeah, I'm reading in partisanship.org right now, and they talk about promoting the following principles: that one, the right to vote is fundamental. I think we all agree with that. And number two, that the right to vote cannot be abridged by a requirement to join any organization. And then finally, that public funds cannot be used to subsidize the private activities of political parties. We tend to agree with that. And again, that's their first organized effort out there to defend and principle that every voter is entitled to equal right of meaningful participation. And like I said, in this process, Michael, you're going to have to get a few people who are in office already to agree with you in order to open the door. And too many of them see that as a challenge to their crown, as you said.
They do. They definitely do.
I think we got a good friend of ours on the airwaves that wants to get in and maybe ask you a question, Michael. Are you okay with that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right. I think our good friend Paul is on the line. Paul, are you with us?
I am. Hi, guys.
How are you?
Doing okay.
Paul, how are you doing?
Thursday evening. Hey, Michael. Hey, listen, Michael, you jog memory. And first of all, for the sake of disclosure, I think that your listening audience there needs to know that I had worked with Michael on and off on some projects for Independent Kentucky. So it's not like that we don't know one another. And secondly, I wanted to just hammer home a point that Michael lightly touched on just a few moments ago. regarding the two-party system, or actually the two different divisions, if you will, of the Uniparty. I think everyone who has been polled about the direction of the country, I think the overwhelming majority of folks say the country's been headed in the wrong direction for quite some time. All right. Now, we've got two common denominators right now for that, and this is what part of what Independent Kentucky is seeking to change and seeking to motivate people to say we've had enough. That is, number one, if the two parties are so damn good, then why do we have the country heading in the wrong direction? The two parties have dominated the political scene nationally, and in Kentucky, the Democrat Party has dominated the Kentucky scene, and yet Kentucky continues to rank in the bottom 5 or 10% of the nation in all sorts of bad categories. So
what a maroon. What an ignoramus. What a maroon.
5 decades.
What an ignoramus.
The Bugs agrees. Go ahead.
5 decades. 5 decades of these parties doing what they do, and it's not progressed us anyway. So you can't call the Democrats the party of progressives because we're not progressing. We're actually regressing. And the Democrats, the Republicans, are not just the party of the rich. Both parties are those of the rich. You take a look at the people, and here I'll give you a good example. Both Senator Mitch McConnell and Representative John Yarlick from two different parties, they're both multimillionaires. They're both – I don't think either one of those guys has paid their own bills in decades. They don't pump their own gas. They don't clean their own house. They don't paint their house. They don't understand what is involved in regular people having to take care of their bills and trying to survive in the very economy that these multimillionaires say are good for everybody. That's bullshit. It's not good for everybody. It's good for multimillionaires. Good for multimillionaires.
Other than that, Michael, Paul has no strong feelings on the matter. What do you say?
I completely agree. We had this conversation the other day. I believe even Ed Martin might have jumped into it. It was a social media conversation about where's the engineers? Where's the teachers? Where's the average person that deals with everyday life, that these regulations and these laws that we have to live by, in Congress and in these positions, how many of them are lawyers? How many lawyers are writing laws for the rest of us to live by while they become, rich? I mean, are there any poor legislators?
Paul dropped off. I don't know if the storms got him or if the black helicopters caught up with him, but I don't know of any poor legislators at all, Michael. I mean, again, McConnell, he's all about K Street. He hasn't been in Louisville in so long. I think you even need a roadmap to find his way around downtown because he's got that big mansion right down the street from the lobbyist. And so Paul is exactly dead on about the Yarmouth and the McConnells. Yarmouth, in his defense, doesn't take a salary, and that's because he's made so much money from the adult porn back pages of the Leo magazine and his restaurant and medical businesses that he's leaked Obamacare for that he doesn't need his paycheck. So that's admirable, I guess. But again, they're not paupers by any means, yeah.
I think not only does he make a great point, but he brings up those questions as well. Where is the average person? Where is the average? And I know there is no normal, and there's, we can say all these things, but where is your, single parent home, making under $50,000 a year that's going to go and try to run for office because, her community's horrible. Her child's school isn't, up to par. Her kid's not getting the education or whatever, or vice versa, let it be a male. Let it be, somebody like me, my wife and I. We have three kids, three beautiful daughters, and it's tough, man. I work a lot. My free time that I do, when I do stuff for Independent Kentucky, and that's all my free time is,
is all based on if I can get everything else done during the day, my jobs, my wife, the kids, if I meet their needs every day. And that's what the average person is going through. They're not sitting in some, job where they can get up and leave if they need to go take a meeting, or if an opportunity arises, they can't jump on it right away because they have other obligations. You can't risk those obligations.
Yeah, let me ask you this as a sidebar. I think about what you just said about these, I guess you just call the middle to lower income people. You don't see them running for office. And if you do, you have to look really close, and you have to be a political junkie like ourselves to even know they're there until you get to the election day. And, of course, we already talked about we beat the dead horse about they won't let you guys near the primary election, even though your money paid for it. That's neither here nor there. But the people who do run, you've got to have the party's blessings, or no one talks about you. And a case in point, and I've talked about this on this show, and we may be the only ones even talking about it, finally, in the local media, we're seeing some attention from Matt Bevin, who is challenging Addison Mitchell Jerome McConnell Jr. for his U.S. Senate seat in the Republican primary. But how many people know that there are three other Republicans running? Because if you don't get the blessing of the party, or you don't have big money donors, nobody knows about you. We saw that happen in the Democrat Party, too. They're not immune from it. The Alison Lundgren Grimes crowd didn't like it at all. Ed Marksberry wanted to be involved, and now Ed Marksberry is going to be running for U.S. Senate as an independent because they basically pushed him out of the party, right?
To me, that's exactly what it is, and this is a personal opinion. I'm going to go personal. I'm going to take my independent Kentucky hat off for a second.
Right.
But I think that is exactly what happened. They didn't want anybody taking away anything from a superstar. They didn't want anybody to run against her because even if somebody ran against her, even though their chances of winning are slim. Allison Lugerden Grimes is a political superstar in this state, whether we agree with her or not. She has been chosen by whoever her party is or whatever to push her. I personally think we'll see a governor's race, Senate race, and the more Senate races, there's going to be more. If she gets this one, she's going to continue to grow because she has a powerful team behind her. With Ed disagreeing with her and getting in the race makes it look like she's not their chosen one. And I think that kind of upset a lot of people. And that guy had his beliefs.
When Bevin finally came up and said he was going to run, and that takes a lot of testicular fortitude to run against Senator Mitchell McConnell there. And when he decided he was going to run, immediately the first thing people hear about the guy was the negative mudslinging that McConnell put out on him. And that's what they're all about. And I guess I would agree with you that Lundgren Grimes is a superstar only in the way that her father used to be the chairman of that party. He ran that party down into the ground as much as he could. And I guess, here she comes along, and it's like the farm team. This is the way it works in the political circles of the Democrat Party and more, unfortunately, the Republican Party. They just shift chairs around on the Titanic. This person, it's their turn to run for this job. And if they don't get it, look at Mayor Fisher. Look how many elections Mayor Fisher ran.
I was going to ask you about that because I had not heard that a Republican was running until I heard something about Bob DeVore. Is he the only Republican in the race at this time?
That is what it's sad. He's going to be the only Republican in the race, period, because the deadline has passed. You would think, again, I'm glad you brought that up, Michael, and I'm glad you didn't rather than I, because that just shows you how complacent they are and how much compatriots they are, these two parties together. We've heard about the back deals that have been rumored between the Yarmouths and the McConnells. You run for this race, and we won't run anybody in this race. And I'm sure if something like that happened in the Fisher race, because he is the only person on the ballot, again, unless an independent or third-party person gets on the ballot, he's the only one on the ballot for mayor. I mean, how ridiculous is that in a city the size of Louisville?
To me, it's amazing because in my position with Independent Kentucky, I love it because I get to break bread with everybody, Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians. It doesn't matter. Let's work on some issues. Let's provide some real solutions. And that's led us to be able to break bread with a lot of people, sit down at a table, and really talk about stuff. And I know some of these people in the parties, in the Democrats, in the Republicans. I get emails And then when I see that they're not pushing, they're, you know, that's the biggest race in Jefferson County, you know, and they're not even, you know, nobody's letting me know as a voter.
Yeah, look at the other one. Look at John Yarmuth. I mean, people think that people are afraid to challenge Republicans around here the way the Democrat Party's held circuit and held court so long in Kentucky is because people are afraid to challenge them. Nobody runs against Fisher.
Well, that brings up something
Yarmuth.
Else there, Dale.
Yep.
Somebody is running against Yarmuth. Have you heard?
Well, in the primary, I mean, there is one. That's what I was getting ready to say. I was getting ready to bring it up.
There's one guy that I know through other circles. I don't know any. It's not like I'm on a phone call basis with the gentleman. Nice guy. I've you know, broke bread with him at a few different functions. And,
Ray Pierce actually challenges him. And how much media is Ray Pierce going to get? Again, if it wasn't for Matt Bevin finally getting the backing of some people who are just sick. Tired of McConnell 30 years. The guy's been in office 30 years. How old are you again, Michael?
I'm 30 years old.
Mitch McConnell has been in office since basically you were either conceived or birthed, sir.
That's good. That's correct.
Well, I mean, what is
Kentucky, right?
Politicians. I'm glad you brought up Ray. Ray is running against Yarmuth, but will he get any media? Same thing for these guys running in the primary for U.S. Senate. If the mainstream press doesn't give their blessings to them, they don't know that Ray Pierce is running against Sean Yarmuth, or that Matt Bevin and three other Republicans are running against McConnell, or that three other Democrats are running against Lindsey Graham. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, no, I'm just in agreements with you over there. I was trying to get some water. I've been kind of long-winded
the
whole show.
trying to give you a break,
you know. Yeah, you said you you brought out the old broadcast days in me when I got to do this with you guys. I'm a little out of shape, you know. I don't normally get to talk this much, but
that's all right. We'll have to get you on again. But again, I'm glad that we got you on to talk about impartisanship, and I'm glad we got you on to talk about independent Kentucky, because again, I always am glad to see when independents or libertarians run for office. And what amazes you can't even get Republicans or Democrats to back an independent or a third-party candidate, even if their own party doesn't have somebody running. And what I mean by that is I saw some races in 2012 where there would be like a Republican and an independent or a Democrat and a Libertarian, and you couldn't even get the other party to go along with you against their arch-enemy in the uniparty, if you will, because they're not enemies. They're the ones we're breaking bread together all the time, and their biggest goal is to keep a Michael Lewis out of independent Kentucky, and keep a Ken Mohman out with the Libertarian Party, because they're so worried that if you get involved, it's going to break up their two-party monopoly. It's a biopoly, but it's the same thing. That's what we call the uniparty. It's the same thing in corporatism with Coke and Pepsi. They don't want nobody else in there. It's the same thing Ford and Chevrolet. I mean, nobody else should be allowed to come into their gang wars, because, heck, you can only have the Crips and the Bloods. You can't have another gang member come in and cause a third gang, right?
That's exactly how it is. And it's funny because, you know, we do work in a lot of different regions. We work in rural areas. We work in urban areas. When you bring that up in an urban area, the looks I get are hilarious because it hits them, and they're like, it really is like that. You know, and it's so refreshing to see that light bulb click, you know, when people start to think, wow, politics is almost like a gang. They're fighting over territory and profit, you know. I mean, that's basically what we see them doing. And I say that with a hint of salt, because there are some good Republicans. There are some good Democrats. There are some good Libertarians. You know, just like there can be bad independents. You know, there are good and bad of both sides, or whatever you put your name next to. But to see the light bulb go off and to them realize, hey, I really need to vote for the person and not what party they say they represent. Because at the end of the day, they're not representing parties. They're representing citizens within their district, within their own communities. And that's what they need to remember.
Well, they really do. I mean, we see what goes on when one party rules a state. I mean, you look at Papaw Bashir and the way he runs Kentucky, and you look at the people in Julian Carroll, the old dinosaur that still roams the capital, and you look at what happens one party runs the whole thing. And again, some states it's the Republican Party running the whole thing. But I guess more than anything here in Kentucky, I keep thinking that you will be able, Michael, to sit down with more people and break bread with them and relate to them, that maybe they will let up on the death lock that they have on the party politic, because it's all Republican, it's all Democrat all the time, and they don't want you to get in there and have another say in the matter. There shouldn't be straight party voting, in my opinion, there shouldn't be any of that. The one other thing that I always talk about, and Martin and I have talked about this, is none of the above, NOTA, N-O-T-A. That's an important thing in Libertarian Party's principles, that if there's not a good enough candidate running, you should have the ability to vote for none of the above. And you can't do that in a primary, and you can't do that in Kentucky. And I think, if I'm not incorrect, you still got to get a lot of signatures, as Ken Mohman would tell you, to get on the ballot when it comes to being a Libertarian candidate. Refresh my memory, Michael. What does a person have to do if they want to run in one of these elections this fall as an independent?
You know, it's funny that Ken would say a lot, because it's more than just a lot for the races that he's been in.
Well, I said a lot. Yeah, he would argue the word a lot.
Right. Okay. All right. I was going to say, you know, locally, on the local level, there's still a dispute going back from Deontay Hollowell's case. I don't know if it had been cleared up, but if you wanted to run for like a metro council in a large city, class one city, I guess is what they call Louisville and Jefferson County, there's a debate of 50 or 100. Deontay had over 50, and they said he had to get 100. But there's two laws on the book currently. There is a law for Louisville, old Louisville, and there's a law for Jefferson County, which makes it unclear. And nobody wanted to pay to go take it up in the courts, so they allowed him to stay on the ballot. Let's just generally say bare minimum valid 100 signatures to run for state rep, state representative, state senate, or any of the additional, county positions.
Countywide races.
PBA. Yeah, your countywide races. Everybody should know those. If not, check them out at the county clerk's office website or the Secretary of State's website. Now, when you get into a higher level and you want to run for a constitutional office, the governor, treasurer, Secretary of State, et cetera, you have to get 5,000 signatures. Now, people think – now, the number – technically, you know, there's 3 million voters in Kentucky. All you need is 5,000 signatures. I understand how some people can think it's not very difficult to hit those numbers. But when you consider that a Republican or Democrat only has to get 2 for any office that we've previously talked about.
There are Republicans who screwed that up, but they only need 2 signatures. We won't name names, but they've screwed that up, but they expect you all to get hundreds or thousands.
Right, exactly. And I'll be – listen, again, this is going to – me putting my personal hat back on as Michael Lewis. I ran for office in 2010 for state representative against a rep that hadn't had an opponent in over 8 years.
Yep.
He's also been in office for close to 20. So when I was 10, when he started his career in Frankfort. You know, I had to get 100 signatures. I provided like 162, 172. It's a little foggy. I'm getting old these days. And they challenged me in court, and they said I only had 99 valid, which it was too late in the game. It was the week before the election, so my name was already on the ballot, and they ruled me ineligible for those votes to count, even though they counted the votes because it was on the ballot. I technically wasn't eligible for the race, which was asinine to me. Here, this is a career politician who had, you know, $60,000 in his campaign account. I spent less than $3,000.
Yeah.
So, you know, it goes back to they don't want to let anybody in the game. You know, I had no chance. I had a great message, I thought. I still believe in my message. But I didn't have the network. I didn't know as many people as these guys. But I still got ground spending a tenth of what they spent.
Well, I hope people will want to run for office, Michael, because I'm just looking over the list of things that are on our ballot in Kentucky this year. And like we said, you can run for U.S. Senate. We already know that Ed Marksberry is going to run as an independent. I've already heard there's a Libertarian candidate. There's another candidate I heard that might be running from a Green or independent side. You have all 100 state House seats in Kentucky. You have half the state Senate seats in Kentucky. These are all on the ballot this year. So, again, you might have to do some research because they're not going to tell you how many signatures you need to get in there and run as independent. But there's Jefferson County Judge Executive, Jefferson County Attorney, Jefferson County Clerk, Sheriff, PVA, coroner, surveyor, and then magistrates and constables. And they're all, unfortunately, partisan races. I really wish that we could do like Lexington, at least with our Metro Council, Michael, get to where it's not all partisan and more quote-unquote nonpartisan. But the one thing we know we're getting to is the end of the hour, Michael. It flew by with you on here as a guest. We sure hope we can get you on here sooner. If people want to contact you or stay in touch involved with you, Michael, how can they do that?
It's real simple right now. We're still leaving the base website up on independentkentucky.org. There's still contact forms on there. If you can't find us, you're not looking, we're on every social media out there, Facebook, Twitter. We even got a picture one, Flickr, I guess it is. There's a ton of things to keep up with us. Independentvoting.org, the main website, is the best. It's about to be relaunched. We're going to have some more updates over the weekend be posted and some stories. And I just want to give one more shout out to endpartisanship.org. Make sure you guys go there. They are giving away free bumper stickers if you sign up. And, if you give them your information, they'll be glad to send you out a bumper sticker, which I just got mine in the mail not too long ago. Just reach out to us. If you have questions, if you have debates, if you don't agree, if you do agree, we're open to everything. So just reach out to independentkentucky.org.
We sure appreciate you coming on here, brother. That is our good friend Michael Lewis, folks, of Independent Kentucky, if you want to get involved with them. And again, we're not trying to tell you that you got to vote independent or libertarian or green party, because my God, God forbid that we try to do the exact same thing that the Uniparty is doing, telling you have to vote for them. But go do some research. Go look at other countries. Go look at some European models. Go look at some Asian models where there are 10, 12, 20 different political parties actively involved in a political process. And if we had it more like that, and we didn't have the biopoly, the duopoly, the uniparty running everything, maybe people wouldn't be too worried about voting with their party, and maybe they'd be more concerned with voting with their principle. But that's under attack now because it's more demoralized if you want to run as an independent or a libertarian or a Green Party person because you didn't go through and get the blessing from either the guys with the D on their chest or the R on their chest. So it's going to be up to you folks. If you want to get involved, if you want to do something, you can either sit on the sideline and wonder why there was nobody else on your ballot come November except for the guy with the D and the guy with the R in front of her name, or you can get involved yourself. It's your choice, folks. Stand on the sideline. Let them do their thing. Let them put you down in chains or stand up to them and say death to their new world order.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!